No. Okay, we are up to Perites. We are up to Perites Pasuk. Pasuk Dalet. We're up to Pasuk Hey. We're up to Pasuk Hey, but I just want to tell you one more verse from Pasuk Dalet. Yes, in Pasuk Dalet we learned ki mi asher yichubar el kol hachayim yesh bitachon. An individual that is connected to life, there is hope. As long as the person is still alive, there is hope. There is still an opportunity to grow in this world. And then to illustrate this idea, the pasuk says, "Ki lekelav chai hu toiv min ha'aryeh hanes." Better be a living dog than to be a dead lion. And we discussed yesterday the medrash. What? Rashi mentioned we compared the Nebuchadnezzar and the Nebuzaradan. Nebuchadnezzar was the lion, Nebuzaradan was a dog relative to Nebuchadnezzar. And the reason why Nebuzaradan, Chazal tell us, is a chelik in Olam Haba because he did tshuva, and Nebuchadnezzar does not. And the reason is because while he was alive, he took advantage. He took advantage of the situation to do tshuva, and that's why Nebuzaradan, the Kelev Chai, while he was alive, he took advantage. He is in better shape than Nebuchadnezzar, because once a person leaves this world, it is too little, too late. Dvarim Pshutim. Okay, then we quoted a man who showed you one other thing I came across in Rabbi Yechiel Michael Stern's Sefer, his collection on Midrashim. So we quoted a bit yesterday that this pasuk refers to David HaMelech. When David HaMelech died, there were two questions that were presented to the Beis Din. Number one, David has died and his body is exposed in the sun, and it's beginning to decay, and it's beginning to decay. Therefore, it's going to rot. It's a bezoin for the nes. And they asked the Beis Din, are they allowed to move David's body? And the Beis Din basically said, no, it's osur. A nes is muksa, and you're not allowed to move a dead body. The second question was, there were some dogs that were barking and they are hungry. Are we allowed to be metaltal muksa on nevela and cut the nevela and bring it to the dog? So the answer is yes. You're allowed to cut up a nevela, be metaltal nevela, which is muksa for the dog. So it came out that it was a shocking psak halacha that for the Aryeh, for David HaMelech, who was called an Aryeh, for him, tiltal muksa was not suspended, was not permitted. But for a dog, an ordinary dog, that's nothing of nothing compared to the greatness of Shlomo David HaMelech. For a dog, you no. So the Gemara says you take a kikar or a tinoik, right, and put it on the body of David, and thereby you're not being metal to David. You're allowed to carry David, but just to be metal to the body of David HaMelech would have been forbidden. Muksa is also that's the bigger chiddush. David. They wanted to carry David's body itself. They wanted to carry the Aryeh itself, and even that was forbidden. But for a dog, we're not talking about being metaltel the dog. We're talking about being metaltel something that is external to the dog, nevela. So that's even a bigger chiddush. You're allowed to be metaltel muksa, not only letzorach gufa. You're not being metaltel muksa for itself. I'm being metaltel muksa for the purpose of something else. That's even a greater leniency. It's one thing if you have a need, something is muksa, and you have a need to metaltel because you want to save it, you want to prevent it from harm, or you want to produce a benefit, then we can understand maybe there'll be a reason why you're allowed to be metaltel muksa. But if the reason why I'm being metaltel muksa is not because I'm going to bring benefit to the object itself, but because I want to bring benefit to a different object, something different, something else, that's even a greater leniency. So here they allowed, the Beis Din allowed the people to metaltel muksa the vela to feed dogs, but they did not let the people be metaltel the lion itself, Aryeh, which refers to David, the metaltel he himself that was decaying in the sun. So we see here this concept, ki lekelav chai hu toiv min ho Aryeh hames. That was the message recorded yesterday. I saw something very interesting, a little bit of a drush in the Yechiel Michael Stern Sefer, Torah HaTamima, where he writes, he explains, he cites, this is not his idea, he cites some version. That when the Chazal tell us that if dogs are barking in the city, this is a sign that the Malach HaMavis is here. Gemara by Yitzias Mishan V'Lo Yachatz Kelev L'Shoinai. that the dogs did not bark, and that was even though the Mashchis, the Malach HaMavis, came to take the life of all of the firstborns of Egypt, yet HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'yechratz kelev l'shoyma, it was a miracle the dogs did not bark, even though the Malach HaMavis. But generally, when dogs bark, it is a sign that the Malach HaMavis is present. So here the Jewish is as follows. David has died. David was a tzaddik yisod olam. Why did David die? Did David die because of a chait? Or did David die because of gezerah from the time of Adam HaRishon that it yeshol nachash, the poison of the snake? L'may nafkemina. If a person dies due to chait, he dies through the hands of the Malach HaMavis. If a person dies only because there is a decree from the time of Maaseh Bereishis, he dies through Misas Neshika. Hashem himself takes the neshama of the tzaddik. There is no Malach HaMavis. So here, and this idea really fits very well into the theme, Kim Mikra Echad Lakol. This theme fits beautifully into the theme of the previous psukim, is that look at the Hashkocha Pratis that's happening. David died. If there were no dogs in the neighborhood, there would be a ban, no dogs allowed, then there would be no barking. No one would hear barking. They would see David HaMelech, David is a tzaddik. Everyone knows that David was a tzaddik. And they would say David died through Misas Neshika. But now, today, there are dogs in this neighborhood, and the dogs are barking. And the enemies of David are saying, do you know why David died? Do you know how he died? It was not like Moshe Rabbeinu through Misas Neshika. He died through the Malach HaMavis, which is an indication that David is a choite. He is a sinner. He has sinned with Bathsheba, or whatever other complaints they had against David. And the proof that David is a choite and has died through the Malach HaMavis and not through Misas Neshika is the fact that the dogs are barking. So it's a very great Chilul Hashem. So the deeper meaning of the Gemara is that when the people came to the Sanhedrin, when the Chazal in fact say it was Shlomo HaMelech, when David died, Shlomo went to the Bezdin and said to the Bezdin, I got a problem here. My father has died. He's lying in the sun, and the dogs are barking. And people are going to say the reason why the dogs are barking is because the Malach HaMavis has come to town. And if the Malach HaMavis has come to town, it means that David is a choite, and it's going to support the conspiracy against David. We all know that even during the time when Shlomo, he inaugurated the Beis HaMikdash, and he wanted to bring in the Aron into the Kodesh HaKodashim, the Aron, the Kodesh, and the doors were shut, closed, and Shlomo kept on pleading with the doors to open, and the doors refused to open until he finally said, Bavur David Avdecha Al Toshev Pnei Meshichecha. And then the doors miraculously open, and the Gemara says, the enemies of David HaMelech, their faces turned black like the bottom of a pot, the backside of a pot, in shame and recognition that it was a sign that HaKadosh Baruch Hu indeed has forgiven David. David has done nothing wrong. Whether they complained that Lo Yavoi Amoni Umavi Bekahal Hashem, or David sinned with Bathsheba, or whatever complaint they had, they now came to the true recognition that David indeed did not do an Avera. But until this point of time, there were always people complaining against David. So here we have a problem. The problem over here is David has died, the dogs are barking, and people are now murmuring that David is a Choyte, he has died through the Malach HaMavis. So, and Shlomo says, I know it's not true. I know that David, my father, did not die through the Malach HaMavis. He died through Misas Neshika. And the proof indeed will be that his body will not decay. I don't know exactly how this fits into the whole idea, that his body will not decay, and that will be the proof. But in the meantime, even though his body is lying in the sun, and his body, let's assume, is not decaying, which is a clear indication that he did not die through the Malach HaMavis, he died through Misas Neshika, but yet people here, they're always evildoers, people always looking to twist, to spin the news in the way they like, and since there are dogs barking, that's the headlines. The headlines on the New York Post is, David HaMelech has died, and the dogs are barking. And Hamevin Yavin, that means David is a choite. So the Sanhedrin were very clever, and they said, so you know what you do? The solution, go take some meat, cut up the meat and feed the dogs, and the dogs will stop barking. If that's the, that is the litmus test. If the dogs, you feed the dogs, and they, because dogs can be barking for one of two reasons. Either they're hungry, or indeed the Malach HaMavis has come to town. But when you'll feed the dogs meat, that will be the test. If the, now the dogs stop barking, that shows that the only reason why they were barking was hungry. Because they're hungry, not because the Malach HaMavis. But if the dogs continue to bark, then it means the Malach HaMavis came to town. Uh-huh. So this is a little bit of a drush. It's a very, it's a cute idea, and it fits very well into the theme of these previous psukim, because what did we learn in these psukim? Mikra echad la tzadik, vila rosh, la toy, vila choyte. Everyone dies. And you don't know why they died. To an observer, to an outsider, yeah, you know why he died, because he did averos. But that's not necessarily the reason. The reason why he died was because he finished his tafkid in this world, and he died a mislas neshika. But you can't prove it. Not only can't you prove it, many times things happen, this hashkocha pratis, that hide the real reason. If David would have died in the place where there are no dogs, then it would have been more difficult for people to complain and say, oh, David, David is a choyte. But look at the unusual hashkocha that he happened to die in the vicinity of barking dogs. What a mazel, what a bad mazel. The emes is, he's died in misas neshika. And the dogs, they're barking because they're hungry, not because of the Malach HaMavis. But that's the way Hashem made the world. Mikre echad lakol. La tzadik, vila rosha, la toy, vila choyte, la zaveach, la sheinina zaveach. Hashem sometimes goes out of his way to do unusual things to conceal the truth. To give a pischoin peh to people who want to make a mistake, to let them have choymer lidrush, to let them go and find, to have conspiracy theories. Right? You'll always be able to find evidence of a conspiracy theory, even though it's total nonsense. Right? Total nonsense. I remember you watching with the World Trade Center. So there are people, there's a very sick miyat hanimka of people that believe that the World Trade Center did not come down by the planes. It came down through inside controlled explosions. The Israelis did it. The American government did it. They engineered 9/11. Dvarim havom shtusim, right? It's the, and these people check it out online.
They call themselves truthers.
So one of their rayos, their proofs that it was an inside job is there's this chemical residue in the soil of some type of explosives. Some type of explosives which only like military grade explosives which were found in the rubble, and it's all over the. So the government was very disturbed about this because it is a problem. So they proved at the end that there is a major data center right smack in the middle of the World Trade Center. There were hard drives, and there were, I don't know, some very complicated equipment. And it happens to be that equipment produces exactly this type of residue, chemical footprint, which can very easily be interpreted as some type of controlled explosion from the inside. But hashkocha pratis, there's evidence, if you're looking to find conspiracy theories to pervert the truth, you'll always be able to find something to twist and turn and manipulate people's minds. And that's exactly what happened here with David HaMelech. It was an unfortunate event that he happened to die on a day when the dogs did not have what to eat. And the dogs were barking, which gives credence to the opinion of his enemies that he was a sinner and died through the Malach HaMavis. Yeah.
There are conflicting Russian mythos, right? Including the well-known midrash that he was trying to evade death on that day, and that the Malach HaMavis had to create a diversion in order
to shake the trees.
They weren't Shabbos, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, but that's not a conflict. That's not a conflict from. You say that the Malach HaMavis came to get him. Okay, so you have to say that there are different madregos in the Malach HaMavis.
Oh, cool.
All right, whatever that means. Are you right? Okay, it's an idea. Yeah.
They're talking about Yidan on Shabbos?
Yes, that's what the Gemara on Shabbos says.
Is there a thought that you believe that Yidan on Shabbos cannot be because of the Malchum others?
If a person dies on Shabbos, it's only going to be to a Kodesh Baruch Hu?
Yeah.
I'm not familiar with such an idea.
No.
I'm not familiar. The Gemara seems to indicate that you can die on Shabbos with Malchum others. The Malchum others works 7 days a week. Okay, I don't know. It could be the other Malchum Chazal. Okay, let's go. Let's go to the next pasuk. The next pasuk K.
He's a ben noyach because otherwise he's chayv misa.
This is a very frightening pasuk. The living know that they're going to die. The dead know nothing. There's no reward, no potential to earn. This is interpreted to mean there is no potential for them to earn reward. The remembrance is forgotten. Pasuk Hey in the Mitzudos David, Yodim Sheyemusu, the living know they are going to die. What is the benefit of that? Umispachtim in Kain min Hadin umischartim al Pisham. This is a continuation of the previous pasuk. They are afraid of the din v'cheshbon they will need to give after death, and they have regret, remorse for their sins. The dead, on the other hand, einam yodim uma rotzulaymar. Don't take this literally. The Mitzvah says all it means over here is ein lechem malodas ve'ein to elis biyadi. There's nothing for them to know, and there's no benefit in knowledge. There's no benefit in any knowledge. What exactly this means, obviously, we do not know. Ki acher hamisa ein moel charata. Remorse is of no benefit after death. Like we mentioned, the Brashi in the previous pasuk, the Nebuchadnezzar had no remorse, and there's no solution for him after his death. The Ein Eloham Sochar, Ein Mokom La'asos. The Targum, the Mitzudas makes it clear, means they have no potential to earn more reward, owed mitzvah, lekabel Sochar, Pu'ula, to receive the reward for their deeds. Why? Ki Nishkach Zichram, Ela, ki over here is to be translated Ela Bot. Nishkach zichram ki kesha'adam chai umischoret al peshoy oy oyse mitzvah nizkar. So here he's saying something very deep. Nizkar means he is remembered in heaven, in Shemayim, in the Pamal Yishlamayla. There is a remembrance of him that he has done something good. Oz letoiva mash enkein min hamesim. Once a person leaves this world, whatever happens to him in that world, his activities do not bring a zikoroin before the Pamalia Shel Maila. Okay, so let's take a look at Rashi Pasik.
There's no activity.
We don't know. No one came back to tell us. So, I mean, this Pasik, how can you...
This Pasik is saying if you're alive, then you...
It's potential. Make a Roshan.
This is zikoroin. You're not doing
well, that's how the Mitzvah learns. If you're dead, so according to Chazal, it appears that this world is a prozdar. This world is nothing relative to what takes place in the next world. This is a prosa, just antechamber. It's nothing. And yet, this pasuk seems to say just the opposite. This world is everything. After the day, take the pasuk literally, a person can become an akikoris, chas v'shalom. The dead know nothing. There's no reward. Take the pasuk literally. You can't take the pasuk literally, obviously. You go out of your mind. Ki nishkach zichram, they're forgotten. They don't exist. That's obviously not true. The Mitzvah says that's not true. After they do it, there's an activity, but it basically means is their ability to earn merit, their ability to make a roshim in Shemayim, an impression that they should be remembered l'toiv in Shemayim, that potential is gone after death. And that's why the previous pasuk says even a kelev chai is toiv min ha'aryeh hames. Let's see the Rashi. Rashi says ke'chayim yodim shemusu v'ulai, maybe the person will, a thought of tshuva will come upon him, yashuvu elo elibam yoyim hamisa v'yashuvu midarkom, and they'll do tshuva. Avol b'shemesu, once they've died, einam yodim me'uma, they know nothing, ve'ed od lahem socher pula, and there's no reward for their deeds, sheyasu min hamisa ve'elach. There are no longer any rewards for any potential deed that they can do after death, because they're no longer here. Ela misha torach be'er Shabbos, yoychal b'Shabbos. So here he quotes the famous Chazal, a person that prepares Erev Shabbos will have what to eat on Shabbos. On Shabbos you cannot prepare. You're not allowed to cook. You're not allowed to do work. So the only way you'll have food on Shabbos is if you prepare Erev Shabbos. Targum, Pasuk Hey. Aruma. Tzadikayo yodin the in yichuvun asidin. The tzadikim know that if they sin, they know that the im yichuvun, if chas v'shalom they sin in this world, asidin lemi vehoin chashivin, they know that they're going to be considered kimisaya le'olmo de'ose. So here's what he's, if a tzadikim know, what does it mean over here in the pasuk according to the Targum, the chayim yodin? What does that mean? Sheyemusu. So he adds a lot of bayer into the pasuk. They know that if they sin in this world, they will be dead in the next world. Very different than Rashi and the Mitzudas. One more time. Arum tzadikai yodin, they know, di'in yichuvun, if they sin, then if they sin in this world, asidin lemihavon yechashivin kimisayu l'olmod yaseh, they'll be dead in the next world. Begin Cain, and because of this, notrin orchehoin, they guard their actions, v'lo yichuvun, and they do not sin. And the in yichuvun, if chas v'shalom they do sin, toivin, they do tshuva, b'syufta, they repent through tshuva, period. However, but the chayavaya, the evil people, less hoin yodin midam, the evil people, they know nothing. Al the law, the proof that they know nothing is they don't do tshuva. The lo yodin midam tov, they don't know anything good. They don't know the wicked do not have any good to them. What's the proof? The lo oitivu. They don't improve their deeds in their lifetime. And therefore, they will not have any good in the next world. There will be no reward. Now this is very bizarre. The reason why they will not have any good in the next world is because their remembrance is forgotten from among the tzaddikim. What does that all mean? I have no idea. Somehow, that having good in the next world is related to tzaddikim remembering them. Not like according to the Mitzudas, this means that if a person is in this world, he can't. In this world, when you do something, they remember you. In Shemayim, they're thinking about you. But in the next world, once a person dies, whatever you do is not going to have any impression upon the Bezin Shalmala. That's not what the Targum says. Targum says that in order to have a person to merit to have good, he has to be remembered among the tzaddikim. Where are the tzaddikim? Are the tzaddikim in this world or are the tzaddikim in the next world? Targum doesn't say. Doesn't say, but somehow, the zikoroin of a tzaddik is what gives a neshama the ability to have good reward in the next world. So one more time, we read the whole pasuk and start according to Targum. The translation: Yachayim yodim shiyamusu. The living know that the chayim over here refers to the tzaddikim. The tzaddikim, they're called the chayim. They know that if they sin in this world and do not do tshuva, they will be dead in the next world. The hameisim, the wicked people. Einam yodim uma, they don't know anything. They don't know that there's something called good. They don't do good in this world. They don't know about good in the next world. And because they don't know from good in this world, they don't do tshuva. The ein olohem sochar, they will not have any reward in the next world. Why? Because since they did not do good, they're not going to be remembered latoiva. The gam charvoina zochor latoiv.
Well, actually, I'm thinking zecher tzadik
levracha. Zecher tzadik levracha. So as long as you're remembered by other tzaddikim, then you'll have some degree of sochar. Why?
And the opposite.
And if you're not remembered, then you're all alone. Kinishkach zikra. Very frightening idea. Okay, now I saw in the Sefer, I don't really know how he reads it to the pasuk, but the Mekubalim want to bring a raya from this pasuk, something very frightening. That the Chayim Yodim doesn't say the Sheyamusu, this some type of Jewish, is that the living, we know what's going on in this world. You just have to read the newspaper or go online so you can get an idea of what's going on in this world. And if you really want to know what's going on in Shemayim, you also can know. There's an advantage to being alive. If you're alive in this world, you know what's going on in this world. And we find tzaddikim, have connections.
Sure.
We know that the Malach, the Beis Yosef, every single night the Malach came to Beis Yosef and told him, taught him Torah, tell him what's going on in the next world. The living, a person that is alive, has the advantage of getting the big picture. You see what's doing in this world, and you can know what's going on in the next world if you've been there. You know, we have the story with Mordechai and Eliyahu. Mordechai, he met Eliyahu, and he asked Eliyahu, "Is the gzeira ki lahashmi laharu gulavis kol hayudim? Is it really?
Is it final?
Just because Achashverosh has issued the decree, what do they say in Shemayim?" And Eliyahu said, "I'm sorry to tell you, it's final." And he asked him, "Is it sealed?" In clay
or blood.
So he told them clay. So he said there's still hope in clay. So you see that tzaddikim at times are given insight into what is happening in the other world. That's alluded to. I don't know how, because the Sheya Musa doesn't really fit, but we interpret Pasuk Achayim Yodim. They know Sheya Musa, they know. Again, what happens in the next world? But the Hanesim, the dead, they know nothing. And the dead does not know what happens in this world. That's always the big problem. This really is a machlokes nigmar. The Gemara himself, the brachos, I think it's daf dalet, daf hey. The Gemara has a dilemma. Do the dead know what's happening in this world? With the tzitzis, loig l'rosh. So tzaddikim do know. So the difference, you say there are different madrigals of people. So tzaddikim, so you're suggesting that tzaddikim in the Olam HaEmes know what's happening in this world, and then there are people in the Olam HaEmes that do not know what's taking place in this world. The Gemara there does ask this question. The Gemara concludes that there are shayaros. There are newcomers. There are updates. Every time a person leaves this world, so there's a receiving end. Like in the airport, right? You wait for the people to come out, the arrivals. There's a whole group of people waiting at the arrival gate to see the people. When the people come in, the arrivals, so tell us, give us an update. Who's the president? Who won the election? who? Give us an update of what's going on. Do you know my son, my grandson? Did they get married? Who did they marry? Give us updates. The Gemara seems to say that people who arrive in the world at a later point in time give updates to the dead of what is happening in this world. That is one answer in the Gemara. According to the best that I remember, the Rishonim say it's the machlokes in the Gemara. In the Chanami, that's one opinion. But the other opinion, the Gemara says, no. They take it literally, the Hanesim Einam Yoideim Uma. It's a different world. It's a different world. There are different activities, and they're not concerned. They have no interest in what's taking place in this world. Obviously, these are all Kabbalistic things we really do not know, but the Pasuk here has to still be understood in some level, which obviously is very frightening. Let's go to Pasuk Vav, Gam Ahavasam, Gam Sinasam, Gam Kinasam, Kivar Avada. So this seemingly is a continuation that their remembrance is forgotten. The love that people had for them, the hatred that they had for them, the jealousy that people had for these people, kvar avada is lost. The chelik ein lehem od la'olam, and they no longer portion this world. B'chol asher nas tachas shamash, considering all matters that are done tachas hashamash. Now, when this pasuk says their love and their hatred and their kina, that does not necessarily mean immediately, because when a person leaves and he leaves over enemies, so all of the enemies, all of his victims, certainly continue to hate his neshama. It means give it time. Wait until all of the victims, until when they die. Give it a generation. The generation, when a generation passes, then the people and their contemporaries are no longer here. So there's no remembrance of the love that people once had for them and the hatred that people had for them. It's not the same. Even though it may be written up in history books, but we all know that you can't really appreciate events, success stories and failures and wicked people and tzaddikim. We can't really appreciate their accomplishments once time has passes, when a significant amount of time has passes. Let's see Pasuk Vav in the Mitzvah Stavid, Gam Ahav Osam. Kvar avada rotzolay ma me'ato ein to elis b'masha yehavu das v'yisnu resha. Once these people pass from this world, there's no benefit in this that they love knowledge and they hate wickedness. So here he says the kinas. So the mitzudas is saying something not different than what I just said before. Here it's referring to the love that the nifter has, that the subject has. When he is alive, he loves Hashem. When he is alive, he hates the wicked. When he is alive, he's mekane kinas Hashem. He takes revenge. He's a kanoi, like Pinchas. He picks up the sword and he stabs Cosby and Zimri and Cosby. He is mekane kinas Hashem. So all of these milas that the subject of the pasuk has, all of that is all fine and good when he is alive. But once he dies, all of these midos are not worth anything. Liskat sev to get angry. I love the word soynoi. The chelik me'ata va'ad olam ein lohem oid chelik b'chol adav asher nase bezelam, which takes place in this world. So we discover, according to the mitzvahs, we are describing the subject, his love, the hate that he has, and the jealousy that he has for Kadosh Baruch Hu, that is gone. Rashi pasuk vav gamah havasam sheohavu, this that they love pesi vilotzayin, they love foolishness and leitzonis. Gam sinasam shesanu das, they hate knowledge. Gam kinasam shehikni uul haKadosh Baruch Hu b'maseidem. According to Rashi, it's very different than the Mitzudos. One similarity is that we are discussing the subject, the person, but all three are chesroinos. We're not focusing on milos. According to the Mitzudos, all three different descriptions are good things. You love Hashem. You hate wicked people. You are jealous for Hashem. According to Rashi, we are discussing three examples of midos ra'ois, bad deeds. You love foolishness. You love leitzanos. You hate knowledge. You hate understanding Torah. You hate kina. In other words, you gam kina. You like to make Hashem jealous. How do you make Hashem jealous? By doing averos, worshiping idols. Sheknu lo kadosh baruch hu masidem. V'chel gein lohem b'chol asher naseh lo yehoy lohem zuchus bei mibas lo oisan rishoim she'avdu avoda selilim ve'ein lohem kapara li'achar misa. This is a very shocking statement, which goes against almost everything that we read about in Chazal. And they have people who are oivdei avodah zarah. There's no hope for them. Even their children cannot bring them merit. Again, that's something which we don't accept. You know, I don't know how we reconcile this Rashi with what is commonly we have a person that's extremely wicked. So there's always an understanding. Listen, he left over good children, so his good children will somehow bring a degree of atonement for his neshama in the olam ha'emes. Rashi here says not like that. Rashi is taking a pasuk, v'chelik ein lohem b'chol asher nase lohoyil lohem zuchus bein ubas lo'isam rishoyim she'avdu avodas alilim ve'ein lohem kaparo li'achar misa. So how do we make sense of this? I do not know. I guess there are different madrigals. You have people that are wicked, but they're not fully wicked. They have a spark of Yiddishkeit. I read yesterday this amazing story. I just came to my mind now, it fits into this pasuk, about there was a fellow who's a Holocaust survivor. I don't know if he was a Holocaust survivor, but he gave up religion. Had nothing to do with Yadus. Yeah, the Lubavitch Rebbe story. You saw the story? And he completely gave up Yadus, and one day, nothing. He lived the whole life. He got married. He married a girl just like him, an irreligious girl. At least she was Jewish. They had a child. Everything was fine and good. And somehow, the child was choizer b'shuva. Child was probably a young man. He was choizer b'shuva, and the time came to get married. And he told his father, "Father, I'm getting married to a religious girl, and of course you're going to come to the wedding." The father says, "I'm not coming to a religious wedding. Under no condition will I come to a Jewish wedding."
And he grew up. He was raised religious.
The father. I do not know. It doesn't say in the story how he was raised, but he was completely irreligious. He was an anti-religious person, completely opposed to anything religious. And his child was chayzer b'shuva. His child said, "Come to the wedding. I'm not going with you to this wedding." So the father says, "You're not going to come." So the father says, "Listen, I can't go to it. I'll do something physically for you. I'll give you money. I'll support you. But religion, absolutely not." So somehow the son convinced his father to have a bris milah. Somehow, do something physical. So just at least physically, do have a bris milah. Somehow the father acquiesced and the father had a bris milah. Having the bris milah brought a spark of Yiddishkeit in him, and one thing led to the next. He went to the wedding. At the wedding, a person comes over, the caterer came over to him and said to him, "I am so impressed with what I see, I want to give you a gift. Years ago, I got a dollar bill from the Lubavitcher Rebbe. I got a gift. I want to give you my dollar bill. Here's your gift." So the person, the father, he fainted. They revived him. He looked at the dollar bill and he fainted. They revived him. He fainted again. When he finally came to, he says, this dollar bill was meant for me. Because many, many years ago, when I was very young, I was playing and I saw this old man giving out dollar bills. And everyone was lining up for a dollar bill. So I also lined up for a dollar bill. I came to this old man and I snatched the dollar bill and I ran away. And when after I took my dollar bill, the old man, he called me back and he said to me, "Young man, do you have a circumcision?" So I said, "No." So the old man, he took away my dollar bill and he said, "When you get a circumcision, then I'll give you back your dollar bill." So here, I now had my circumcision, which led me to come to this wedding, and now someone out of the blue comes over and says, "Here is a dollar bill."
Is this documented, the story?
I saw this in Yeshiva World News yesterday.
So it must be true.
Is it true or not? It's a good story, that's for sure. It's a good story. If it's true or not, like they say, some stories have not yet happened. But so here it says here in this pasuk, this pasuk, Rashi over here says it's not going to help. Obviously, the different madrigals in the zuchus. All right, let's see what it says over here in the Targum. Targum pasuk evolve. Bosar mosehon dira shi'aya. After the death of the wicked, less behind it seroif, there is no benefit. The word seroif means benefit. There is no to elis. After the death of a wicked person, af rechim ashoin, af sin ashoin, af kin ason hokvor hovdun min olma. Now, the Targum is not translating these words. This is what is very good. You see, when I learned this pasuk alone, without seeing any translation, I made an assumption that these three words is a continuation of Zichram. When we use the word Zichram at the end of the previous pasuk, it means the remembrance that other people have for them. And that would simply imply that when it says here in this pasuk, love, hate, and jealousy, it's continuing the theme of the previous pasuk, the love, the hate, and jealousy that other people have for them. This person was a wonderful person. Everyone loved him. But 50 years later, no one remembers him. We'll mention his name, yeah, I remember him. Does it bring up emotion of love? No. 50 years have passed, you forgot about him. Hate. This person was hated. When he walked into a room, everyone in the room was filled with hate. Do people remember the hatred 50 years later? They don't. Jealousy. They don't remember the jealousy. That would be the simple interpretation of the pasuk. Rashi and the Mitzudos rejected this. Rashi and the Mitzudos both said that we were describing the emotion that the subject of the pasuk himself has. This subject has love for Hashem, has hatred for wicked people, has jealousy for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Or, according to Rashi, just yeah, he has love to do foolish things. He hates knowledge. He likes to anger Hashem by making Hashem jealous by worshipping idols. But that's not the simple translation of the pasuk. And indeed, the Targum is extremely vague. He does not elaborate. So the Targum is not really addressing whose love and hate and jealousy we are discussing. Okay, then he goes on to say, "V'chulak tov les lohon od im tzadikai lomo diasei." Now, this is a very frightening interpretation of the pasuk when it says, "Ein lohem chelek." When the pasuk includes, "Ein lohem v'chelek, ein lohem od le'olam." Which world are we discussing? According to the simple interpretation, we are discussing this world. After the person passes, they have no connection to this world. According to the Targum, they have no connection to the next world. We're describing a wicked people. V'chulak tov, a good portion. Les lohon od im tzadikaya, with the righteous lo'om od yasei, period. And then it goes on, "V'les lohon hanom in kol mod isavei be'om hodein." and they have no benefit. He just follows through. There's no benefit which is happening. Which has the implication that the tzaddikim do have benefit from good things that happen in this world. Again, we don't know how it works in the next world, but he's saying over here some very deep ideas. One thing you take away from the Targum, which he says over and over, is that Olam Haba very much depends on whose company you're in. That's what that theme comes out. If other tzaddikim in the next world remember you, they think about you, you're in their company, it rubs off. You also have pleasure. But if you don't have good friends in the next world, you're lost. That absence itself is a denial of Olam Haba.
That's self-fulfilling as you get there, because you're a good guy yourself.
But it implies even if you're not the best, as long as I have good friends, we all know that in this world there are very great tzaddik, and you don't have to be a great tzaddik. You just have to attach yourself to become a follower of a tzaddik. So you're in his mechitzas. So what benefit you have of being in the mechitz of a tzaddik in this world? Well, we don't perceive it to be anything very much. But in the next world, it appears that when you're in the vicinity, in the seviva of tzaddikim, there's real pleasure. There's real benefit. Something which this world, what can you do? In this world, you can mean physical proximity. But what does it do for you? What does that do for you? It does nothing for you. In physics, you'll tell me, he's Megan. What does that mean exactly? You don't sense anything special being in the presence of tzaddikim in this world. But in the next world, obviously, somehow, at least going to talk to him, this idea comes out over and over again. Okay, now we go to the very popular pasuk Zayin Lech Echol B'Simcha Lachmecha U'Shasei B'Lev Tov Yenecha Ki Chvor Rotso Elokim Es Masecha. Eat with joy your bread, drink with a good heart your wine, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu has accepted your deeds. Mitzudos.
Don't they call this pasuk Matzim Kippur?
Yes, Mitzim Kippur. We're going to see some of the midrashim in a moment. Let's see, yes. Let's first see the Mitzudos. Pasuk Zayin. Lech Achol Ratzulaymar. Ein meharoi l'chol lehitzta'er ulesagev. A person should never bring upon himself pain and suffering. Ki lech echol. The pasuk is giving you advice. Enjoy this world. Ki chvar rotso. What does it mean? Ki chvar. Hashem has already accepted Ratzulaymar. Bezehu im kvar rotso. Only. Ki over here means only. Doesn't mean that it is a fact, it is established. Mm-hmm. When am I giving you advice that you should enjoy, eat and drink and be happy? It's only if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is happy with you. Ratzolaymar, v'zehu, this that I'm giving you permission, im kivar ratzo hu elokim es masecha, ali deisho sitzah toh v'hayosha, u'masecha ritzu b'fnei amokam. Oz, then you have the right to, oz tisanag v'sismach. But if you do not...
That means there are like three people in the world who could do this.
Because who knows?
Yeah.
Who can say about themselves right. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu is pleased with his actions?
So what's the pshat then?
I guess it's relative. If you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, if your rabbi says you're a good guy, and everything is, there's always room for improvement. But Derech Klal, you have to. You can. Leidid the Torah leMalachi Asharis.
This whole
thing,
the basis of pasuk.
Why?
You had a tzaddik you were signing on him.
You mean the previous pasuk? The previous pasuk, you mean? The previous pasuk. Enochanami, the Targum is saying that as long as you're in the mechitz of the tzaddikim, and they're going to schlep you along. Enochanami.
That's that joke.
Rav Nachman will pull you up.
Nachman
and Lubavitcher Rebbe.
Pick him up by the payas. The other one says, if you have the nadel, and the basco
don't. I sent you as a shliach.
You're in shlichus.
I sent you to Gehenna for shlichus. You're in Gehenna, stay there.
No, I heard something very profound. Rav Hirsch Lispenka,
Yeah.
I heard this from my nephew, that quite often the Noam HaMelech talks about tzaddikim.
Yeah.
So he says it's referring to us most of the time. If someone doesn't do grab of, you know, virus.
As long as you don't do big time avaros, as long as you do the best you can, you also nichlen in the category of a tzaddikim.
Right.
There are different madrigals of tzaddikim. Let's see Rashi. Rashi says lechel b'simcha aval ata that tzaddik. So you the tzaddik. This according to Rashi. Rashi is following his opinion. Rashi is a continuous stream of information. In pasuk vav, and pasuk hey, we discuss the Rasha. The Rasha has ava, sinna, and kinna, evil, bad types of ava, sin, and kinna, he is going to Gehenim. Pasik Zion is telling you shift gears, but you the tzaddik. Aval, ato hatzaddik, shekvar rotza, kodesh baruch hu ma'asecha, hatoivim, you who have merited to do good things, v'tiski lilum abol, lech echol besimcha. So the tzaddik, the previous pasik, the rasha, you're going nowhere. Uh-huh. But the tzaddik, you have merited to do good things, you indeed will go to olam, haba. Period. Targum pasik Zayin. The Targum says Omar Shlomo. So here is something very interesting. How we have the Targum. Was Omar Shlomo Baruch Mevuah. See, it would seem from the Targum that if you would want to make chapter breaks, this would be the good place to make a chapter break. The fact that Targum now says Omar Shlomo Baruch Mevuah, we're beginning now, according to the Targum, a new theme. According to both Rashi and the Metsudos, it's clearly a continuation of the previous pasuk. According to the Metsudos, Lech Echol B'Simcha, according to both of them, it's a continuation, but according to the Targum, it's a new theme. As we mentioned before, that the Parakim breaks in the Sefer Koheles, Megillat Koheles, were not done by Jews, were done by Christians.
So we have to write a complaint to the Catholic Church.
There is another system of breaks, of parakim, which was the temple was made to become the standard for Klal Yisrael.
Yeah.
It was never fully caught on.
Yeah.
And in the Koyrein Tanakh, they have it. They have
one side is the old and the other side
is the new. But the new is really no one follows the new. It's something which
where is this brought?
What?
The old one's in gray.
It's impossible to break away from the old one.
Yeah. Where is this quoted? Where is this written?
The new one, it was done many years ago. I'm talking about probably hundreds of years ago. Because
this is how it's supposed to be.
No, the chapter breaks that the Christians are very problematic. More often than not, they break up. In the middle of Yain. So someone came along, I don't know who did it, and made new chapter breaks which appeared to be consistent with Chazal's understanding of the Pesukim. And it's actually, you can see it very easily in any Korean. I don't know, the original chapter breaks were made by Goyim. Those were made by Jews, by Talmid Chachamim. But it never caught on. Here it's just very fascinating that the Targum says, Omar Shlomo Beruach Nevuah. This it gives you the impression that we are now beginning a new theme, a new discussion.
Yeah.
And according to the Targum, if we were to put a chapter break in Megillas Koheles, here would be a good place to start new. Now, what does it say? What does Shlomo say? Ruach Nevuah. Min Kadam Hashem Asid Mori Olma. Before Kadosh Baruch Hu, the master, saying that Hashem in the future will say, Hashem in the Olam HaEmes will say to every tzaddik. One more time. Amar Shlomo Ruach Nevuah. Min Kadam Hashem. Before Hashem. Shlomo said the following with Ruach HaKodesh. Asid, the day will come in the future when Hashem Morei Olma L'Neimar, Hashem will speak L'chol Tzadikayo, to every Tzadik Kol Chad V'Chad B'Anpei Nafshei, to each person individually. Every person in Olam HaEmes is going to get individual attention, not group attention. To oim ezel, go to oim bechedva, eat with joy, lachmach your bread, the itosav loch, which has been prepared for you, al lachmach tova. Al lachmach tova dihavt la'anya, because. In reward, okay, whatever the gist of the bread, because of the bread that you've given the poor, midah keneged midah, ulechashicha, and drink, ulechashicha dahavik kifin, and that were hungry. Dahavik kifin means hungry.
Kfirin.
What?
That's from kefirim, that's from
means hunger.
Yeah,
eat bread and joy in reward for giving bread and taking away the hunger pangs of the poor.
No, it's la'anya v'la'chashicha da'avikofen, I think.
Okay, I have more words in my pasuk. Okay, fine. But basically it means go eat, enjoy your bread, because you deserve it for giving bread to the poor people that were hungry. Furthermore, Ushasei belev tov chamra, drink with joy your wine. Why? The itstinalach that has been diluted, that has been guarded for you, beginsa in reward. Begins at the Aden in Gan Eden, begins at the Aden, Chalof in reward, Chamroch the wine, Dim Zagtola Anya, which you have diluted for the poor, the Chashicha, and the humble, the poor and the destitute, the Havetzochei that was thirsty, period. Arumcha Kvar, because of this, why, is already been accepted, Isra'i Hashem Uvadoch Tavaya, Hashem has already accepted your good deeds. So Targum is saying, there are two few things. So first of all, the Chiddush Targum is going to speak to each person individually. Hashem is not going to dish out reward as a group. It's going to be to each person individually. And it says eating the bread is in reward for the bread that you fed the poor. Drink in reward for supporting the poor. It's interesting that the Targum over here is deviating from what he normally does. Most of the time, 90% of the time, the Targum, when he takes the pasuk and he interprets it in reference to the study of Torah. Here, you would right away bet that the Targum is going to sit there when it says eating is eating Torah. Luchu lachem ubalachmi. Drinking is drinking, it means drinking Torah. We should say b'yein misibasi or mayim. How you call something luchu lamayim? And yet here the Targum says no. We're not talking about eating a reward for Torah. We're referring to reward to giving it tzedakah. In reward for giving tzedakah, you're going to merit all of these good things. Okay. Now, obviously, this pasuk is used in reference to Yom Kippur. Okay, now the Gemara talks about this, the Medrash, that when Shlomo HaMelech, when he inaugurated the Beis HaMikdash, they started the inauguration on Zion, on the seventh day of Tishrei, and they celebrated the inauguration of the Beis HaMikdash for 14 days. With 7 days for the Mishkan, 14 for the Bayis Rishon, and it's going to be 21 days for the Bayis Shlishi. The Bayis Sheni, maybe that was all, I don't remember, but I think it says in the pasuk it was 14 days, and those 14 days span Yom Kippur. So when they started to celebrate on the 7th day of Tishrei, 3 days later is Yom Kippur, they ate and they drank on Yom Kippur. So when they finished the celebration, they had Harata. Or they say, maybe we made a mistake, maybe the Halacha, there was no Harasha, maybe we were not allowed to eat on Yom Kippur. So a Baskel came forth with this very pasuk. So this very pasuk is very close to the heart, according to the Medrash. The one that authored this pasuk is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or the Baskel. And Shlomo took it and he put it into his Sefer Mishlei. How many pasukim do you have that you can say that about? Every pasuk you say, well, they are Midrashim. David said it, or you'll say that as a Maitz in Tanakh, in Yosef, in the Shvatim, and Yaakov. Here you have another example, but this is an example which happened in the lifetime of Shlomo HaMelech. We know that Shlomo wrote Sefer Koheles at the end of his life. There are three books: Shir HaShirim, Mishlei, and Koheles. Shir HaShirim he wrote when he was young. Mishlei he wrote in middle age. Koheles, he was very cynical, pessimistic. He wrote this B'Sof Yamav. Everything is no good. Death, Yirat Shamayim, it's all coming to an end. So this Sefer was written after he had the Beis HaMikdash for many years. And what happened when he built the Beis HaMikdash? They ate on Yom Kippur. And then, Libay Naikfai, their heart was beating hard. Maybe we made a mistake. A Baskel came out from Shemayim and said, you've done nothing wrong. Leich echol besimcha lachmecha, ushasei v'lev tov yeinecha, ki chvor ratzoy l'kim asecha. Continue eating. You don't have to do tshuva for eating on Yom Kippur. We know that on Shabbos, a person has a chaloim. You have a chaloim, and you want to fast on Shabbos. You can fast on Shabbos, but you're going to have to fast another time to do tshuva. So same thing. If you ate on Yom Kippur, you're going to have to do tshuva by not eating. If you ate on Yom Kippur, and when you're not supposed to have eaten on Yom Kippur, the tshuva would be you have to fast.
They were permitted to eat.
But Hashem said you did nothing wrong. And because you did nothing wrong, you don't have to fast.
Why talk a little bit? Lech
echol besimcha lachmech or simcha yenech, and he recorded this in his sefer. Yeah.
Why were they allowed at the time to eat and drink?
Why? It was Ruach HaKodesh. I don't think this is there. It was a Ruach HaKodesh.
So it was only one time in history where they ate and drank.
Twice.
But ate and drank.
Where's twice?
No, that was Pesach. No, that was Pesach. They didn't have a Seder. Right, yeah. They fasted on Pesach.
Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. Pasuk. Okay, as you said, this pasuk said after Yom Kippur, we hope that there's a baskel. We're looking forward to hearing a baskel. When Yom Kippur is over, like you mentioned, when Yom Kippur is over, that we should hear such good news. Hashem has accepted our tshuva, we can be able to eat. Pasuk ches, b'chol eis, yudu v'nach v'godecha levonim, v'shem al roshcha al yechsar. A person at every time should have white clothing. The shemen al roish al yechsa, and the person should have a shemen on his roish. Now, what does this mean? Let's see the mitzudos pasaches b'choleis im tisanag b'malbushnoki. Dam tisanag b'malbushnoki. The person should always enjoy clean clothing, just like he should have good, just like the previous pasuk says, he should have good food, and good drink. You should wear good clothing, beautiful clothing, and you should have a shemen uvecholeis yubigodech levanim v'nikim levanim unikiyim clean clothing. V'al roishcha layechsa hashemen. You should have oil smeared on your head. Ki becholeis tosuch roishcha b'shemen leman hisanag hisaneg, in order to take to enjoy, have delight. Brashi pasuk ches becholeis yubigodech levanim haskein atzmecha b'chol shah b'maseh toiv. A person every moment should be on guard to do a good deed. Shem Tomus Hayom Tikones Bisholom. If Chas Vesholom, a person were to die today, he would know that the last thing he did was a good deed. There's something to this. It's a very, very bizarre idea. Why should a person be judged on the very last thing that he did? We normally like to think we have the bank. We've accumulated a lifetime of mitzvahs, Torah mitzvahs. So even if the last couple of years or the last couple of days are not 100%, even though as long as they didn't do any big averos, what's so terrible? This theme comes out over and over in Chazal, that there's something to the last thing that you do, the last mitzvah, the last conversation, the last thing that you say. So the person is always on guard to do a mitzvah. Even if he dies suddenly, he will enter into the next world in a state of peace.
Right, so he can make a shakel, drink something when they're
about to die. So they're making a bracha on death. The tzaddikim, when they make a shahakol, they're making a bracha on death. Or even that's another thing. Shakol even wrong. Umashal shlova chacham es adavar. Shlova hamelch appeared the matter. La adam shehizmina hamelch liyam suda. To a zemedish, the king invited his servants to a suda. V'leikava lo yizman, he did not designate a specific time. He just told the servants, everyone should be prepared. I'm going to invite everyone to a banquet. So there were two groups. There was one group that got dressed in their best clothing, and they waited, they loitered outside the palace. Any moment the king can call us to enter. Another group says, when the king will call, we'll take a shower and we'll put on our clothing and we'll go. So one group, the kavod lezman, im chacham hu, oipikech, if he was a chacham vikech, miyad miyad, he would immediately mechabes kisus, clean his clothing, v'recheitz and bathe, v'soch and smear oil, v'chein eis machar, ato eis yikud, they would do the same thing tomorrow, and they would wait until the moment when they're called to come into the banquet. El hasudi, eis yikari el hasuda. You call Shah the God of Levonim, he's always in preparedness. V'rochutz v'soch. But then there was another group of servants that figured when the king will call, we'll then get ready. And suddenly the king called, and everyone had to come into the palace immediately. And the king looked at his subjects, and half of them were dressed in their best clothing and were clean and appeared ready. And the other half were wearing their workday clothing and were dirty. So the king was happy, he rejoiced with the servants that were prepared, and was angry at the servants that were filthy. So the mashal is that a person does not know when his time will come. And a person can think, right now I'm going to spend the bulk of my years pursuing pursuits that are not things that I'm going to be proud of in the next world. not everyone is cut out to be to sit and learn the whole day. So I'm gonna pursue certain things that I'm not gonna be proud of in the next world. And I'm not worried, because when I retire, by the time I'm 80, 90 years old, so those last couple of years, when I'm 90 years old, so the last 10 years, or my last 30 years until 120, so I'll take care of all of the problems. I'll sit down in Kollel and I'll learn Daf Yomi, and I'll come into the next world as a Talmud Chacham. So the Medrash says, who says you're going to make it to 120? Maybe Hashem's going to call the person to Shemayim much younger, and you're not going to be prepared. The plan will not work. A person cannot plan his ruchnius. A person has to prepare the ruchnius daily, every single moment. That is the Medrash that is given. Okay, we're out of time. Let's do to the Targum. Pasuk Ches. The Targum says, "Bechol idin, every moment of time, yihivyon kisusach chavirin. It should be clean. Should be white. Min kol soy avo chayvusim, every stain of sin." So here the Targum clearly learns, referring to white clothing, meaning a person's guf, neshama, should be cleansed from sin. Ushema tova, and a person should have a shame tov. Where does it say shame? So the Targum explains, dimsil limshach, because rivusa. It's compared. A good name is compared to shemen. Tov shemen.
Shame.
Tov shemen atov. A good name is compared to oil. So the Targum says, when it says here in the pasuk, v'shemen al rosh al yachzar, always seek to have a sterling reputation. That is the advice. A person should be clean from sin, his garment should be white, and should have a good reputation. Ushmo tovo dimsil lemishmach revusa, a person's name is compared to good oil. Then it goes on to say, kinei, a person should see to acquire these two things, good clothing, begin the yimtoin birchon, so that brocha shall come al reishach, upon your head, v'tevusach lo yechsar, and goodness should not be lacking. Okay, so this is the idea of the Targum. Yeah?
By the gutter, they talk about the body.
Yes.
Children. But by shemen, yeah, there's no mention of bunim.
What do you mean, bunim? What do you mean? Where are their bunim?
Levanim.
Oh, levanim. But shemen, what do you mean?
It's not so much what you wear, it's what your kids wear.
What does it say, children? There's no children here.
No, I was trying to read Levanim for your children.
No. Levanim simply here means white.
Okay.
Your kids are judged.
You're judged
by the way they are. Bail me out. Your children should be your clothing. The clothing in the next world will be the merits that your children provide for you. Okay, now by now, okay, the Midrashim interpret this pasuk in reference to talis and tefillin. They darsh and choleis you v'godach levanim. The person should always be wearing a talis. The levanim, your clothing, and the shemen is a reference to the tefillin. The tefillin represent a person's the rosh. Okay, another idea. Okay, this is the Bali Musa say this idea that the pasuk is telling you that if you're wearing white clothing, if you're wearing dark clothing, like a plumber. Plumbers gets filthy, gets stealing with all the filth and the pipes. So you wear dark clothing, no one can see. A doctor wears white clothing because a doctor wants to be able to see if there's any infection, any disease. Doctor wears white to make sure everything is clean. When you want to see all of the imperfections, you wear white. When you don't want to see the imperfections, you wear dark. So here it's telling you, if you're wearing white, why in the world would you have oil on your head? Oil stains clothing. If you're carrying oil on your head, there's a very real possibility the oil's going to spill and soil your garments. That's exactly the point. A person has to go through life extremely carefully. Every step you take in life must be measured. View life as if you're walking a very fine, narrow line, carrying a jug of oil on your head. If you slip, you take one wrong step, the barrel of oil on your head will tilt and will spill on your beautiful clothing and soil them, dirty them. That's how you have to live life. It's not two separate things. It's one idea. B'chol eis, at every moment in time, view yourself going through life while you're wearing white clothing, and at the same time, there's shemen al roshcha al yechsar, and that's going to force you to be extremely careful where you walk and how you take your steps, not to make yourself filthy. Every time you make a decision in life, reflect. How will this affect me in the next world? Maybe making this decision is equivalent to jumping while I have upon my head a jug of oil that's going to cause it to spill and make my clothing dirty, and then I'll be embarrassed, I'll be ashamed, I'll be filthy in the next world. Okay, this pasuk is also a very important source for why we wear a kittel many times of the year. Some of these times that we wear a kittel is a bit controversial. But when do most of Ashkenazim wear a kittel? Yom Kippur. Some wear it on Rosh Hashanah, where a kittel is worn in the light of the Seder. A kittel is worn at the time when a person gets married. Yeah. When else is a kittel worn? What? A person is buried.
Tal
and Geshem. So therefore, that's what the pasuk over here says, B'chol Eis. Every time in life that you consider to be a significant moment, an ace. This is a moment when you prepare for, a moment that you reflect upon. Then, yihyu v'godecha levanim. Your clothing should be white. So put on a kittel.
You're saying, instead of saying at all times, you're saying at on special occasions.
Special occasions. Ace is a code word for a special occasion. Then, yihyu v'godecha levanim. And of course, there are many interpretations. You should remember the Yom HaMisa, or white clothing represents simcha. But it's a special occasion, put on white clothing. The Hasidim in Yerushalayim, the Rav Ariel.
Oh, they wear because they took it from the Arab.
The white clothing? All right. So.
They copied the Arab.
All right, okay, I take it back then. They don't, it's not really white, it's like gold. It's good as gold.
Strike.
That, I don't know how that fits into this medrash of what it means, Shem al Roshcha, during the times of an ace, but at least the beginning of the pasuk fits very well into the minig olam to wear a kittel on all special occasions. All right, we'll stop here.